Life now is sweet. And my joy is complete. For I am saved. I'm saved. Anybody saved and glad about it? By his power divine, I'm saved to new life, sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. For I'm saved. Saved. Oh, I'm saved. Yeah. I'm saved. By his power.
Yes, sir.
Divine. Oh, I'm saved. I'm glad about it. To new life, sublime. My life is sweet. Didn't say it was perfect. My life is sweet. Didn't say I don't have to cry sometime. My life is sweet. But the reason why I praise him is that my joy is complete, for I am saved. Saved. Yes, I'm saved. Praise his name. Somebody ought to bless him. I said somebody ought to praise him. I say it again. Somebody ought to praise him. Scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard my cry and delivered me from all my fear. If you don't believe it, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I just wonder, is there anybody in the house that knows the Lord is good? I said, I just wonder, is there anybody here tonight that know that the Lord is good? He's great. And is greatly to be praised. Certainly we thank the Lord for the privilege of this opportunity tonight, celebrating 14 years of pastoral ministry. We thank you for inviting us on a Wednesday night. To come all the way from Englewood. So by the time most of you get home, we'll just be getting to the turnpike. But we appreciate this opportunity, and I appreciate all those who came from Englewood. on the Wednesday night. I want you to stand again, because some of you were still outside when they give you the welcome. But all those who came along with us, please stand. We appreciate your presence here tonight. Of course, our choir, y'all stand too. And I told Pastor, I said, we got almost 80 folk on a Wednesday night coming down the turnpike. And praise God for traveling mercies, and thank you. All of our preachers who are here, our deacons who are here, our deaconess ministry preachers as well, ushers, first aid, everybody who's part of our fellowship, we thank you for coming. Our music ministry, I didn't even know I had musicians tonight. I just thought I was going to have to play, so my mind was already in the frame of mind. Well, you got to wing it tonight, but I appreciate the gifts and sacrifice. So glad to see our dear friend back there, Pastor Mrs. Alexander. So grateful to see you all in the house. Amen. To our worship leader, Sister Taylor. They must have set that up tonight. Thank you for leading us. And to Brother Davis, thank you for introducing me on tonight. Interestingly, Brother Davis, Davis is my mother's maiden name, and Taylor is her married name. So it's all in the house of family today. To Pastor Darrell Armstrong and your lovely wife, God bless the both of you. Congratulations. Congratulations. I was just, I'm blessed to know you over the years. But tonight I was just touched again just by listening to your story. And I knew a little bit of your story, but just touched by your heart. And I want to tell you, Shiloh, you do have a man of God. You do have a great young man. And I appreciate the spirit that's in this place. When we were pulled up and we saw the cars lined up everywhere, that's indicative of your level of appreciation for your pastor. Amen. When a church celebrates its pastoral anniversary, that home church ought to be present. The success of celebration should never be dependent upon the guest that you invite in, because he is your pastor. And if nobody else shows up, Shiloh ought to be in the house. Do I have a witness? Shiloh ought to be in the house, because he serves in this branch of Zion every week, every day. And if he's not here, his heart and his mind is still here. I can attest to that. His heart and his mind is still here. So we thank God for him. We salute his first lady, his wife, amen, and his children. We salute them. The greater sacrifice is always the family of the pastor. And we thank God for the families who allow us to go out and to minister to God's people. Again, thank you all for sharing. I told my folk we're not going to be here all night. We're getting on the road, getting back home, because we have a little distance to travel. But I always have this little motto: while you're in church, you ought to have a little bit of church while you're there. Amen, amen. You just ought to bless the Lord. I want to encourage you to join me in the book of Luke, Luke's gospel, the fourth chapter of Luke, a passage that I believe speaks to us tonight, already confirmed by some of the things that we've already heard in terms of the dance ministry, and even in terms of pastor's own video presentation, Luke chapter number 4. These are the words of Jesus in the 18th and 19th chapters, and I ask your prayers tonight. You get it? Say amen. Amen. You'll find these words: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you have that? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to simply talk about serving this present age. Can you say that? Serving this present age. You may be seated. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of sharing this word. It is your word. Your word is eternally settled in heaven. And Lord, we've come to share, to speak, but we can do nothing without you. Fresh anointing fall on us even now for this preaching moment. Give us ears to hear, hearts and minds to understand and receive and believe your word, and not only be hearers, but doers of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up in my early church, St. Phil's Missionary Baptist Church, down in Cumberland County, Bridgeton, New Jersey, it was a traditional little Baptist church. It was a little small Baptist church with hard wood floors. I remember when we did not have pews. We just simply had chairs, whatever chairs the people could get together that made up the seating for the congregation. Our deacons would lead devotional service every Sunday morning. The devotional service always consisted of a lined meter hymn. A lined hymn, a metered hymn. In those days, everyone, not all the people in the church were educated, and so the deacons would lead and line the hymns. It would be a call and response. They would throw out the words and the people would sing them back. And one of the most favorite hymns of our church was "A Charge to Keep I Have, God to Glorify, Never Dying Soul to Save, to Fit It for the Sky." And that second verse says, "To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill, may it all my power engage to do my master's will." And I dare suggest, Pastor Armstrong, that that is what the Lord has called all of us to do, and that is to serve our present age. This is a different day than the years of yesterday. This is the day where everything is out and in your face. This is the day of online, Facebook, tweet, all of that, social media network, cyberspace. This is the day of child abuse, elder abuse, the day of corruption on every level. This is a different kind of day. This is a day of social injustice and social unrest. This is a day of religious coldness, where people are comfortable with a form of godliness, but desire no power whatsoever. But we're not called to serve any other day than our present day. And if we're going to call our present day, then that means our approach to ministry must speak to the issues of today. Do I have a witness in the house? Years ago, you could pack out a church in the afternoon with things like an usher's anniversary, or a choir day, or a missionary day. But in this day, where if you have a job, you may have to work 7 days a week, people are not taking off their job just to come watch you strut around the church in the afternoon. This is even the day, at least in my area, that when you die, you have to schedule your funeral, because nothing is shutting down anymore just because somebody passed away. I wish I had a witness. Folks are not taking off their jobs to come to your funeral. They'll remember you like they saw you last. It's that kind of, y'all with me here? It is that kind of day. And so you can no longer get offended because folks are not responding to what they used to respond to. And one of the challenges of churches when we lead churches is that oftentimes we lead folk that want to revive and want to resurrect the good old days. And the good old days are gone forever. They are just not coming back. The day of the choir reunion is over. The day of the usher's reunion is over. Sing the songs way back when. Nobody even remember the words from the song way back when. It's over and it's gone. And God has challenged you and I to reach this present age. This present age, in this present age, people are, if you will, bombarded with images from all over. You can't walk out of your door without seeing something. It takes a small amount of time to catch folks' attention. Just think about the remote control. Can anybody in here relate to the remote control? Brothers, I know you can. Has anybody ever done surfing on the television? You have your remote in your hand, and you are literally flipping through the channels just like that. And if something catches your attention, you stop for about 3 seconds to look. And if it doesn't do anything, you keep on moving. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that in this day and age, folks do not have time for foolishness that does not positively affect their lives. And even in ministry, if we're going to have an impact, we've got to be willing to do some things the way Jesus did it. When I think about somebody that was a master at ministry, I think about Jesus. Oh, yes, y'all. Jesus was a master at ministry. And if you're going to be like Jesus, I suggest you have to do at least 3 things. Number one, you have to break some tradition. I know Shiloh is a traditional church. Shiloh is one of those churches that you hear about even before you get there. If you say Trenton, you're going to say Shiloh. One in the same community is like that. But listen, if we're going to stay relevant and if we're going to reach every generation, we've got to be willing to break some tradition. Now, I didn't say break all tradition, because some tradition is good for foundation and grounding. Talk to me, somebody. That is why every Sunday morning we sing a hymn, and that's why every Sunday we teach a hymn and do a responsive reading, and we force all of us to learn the hymns of the church, because the hymns teach us great theology. But we just can't sing hymns all day long. We got to sing some other stuff so that everybody can hear something that relates to them. I wish I had a witness. Amen. Grandmom wants to hear the old gospel. She wants to hear something that makes her feel something. Amen. Grandmom wants, when your song is over, when the song is played, she wants to be able to close her eyes and feel a wheel turning in the middle of a wheel. She wants that power that runs from heart to heart and from breast to breast. Y'all gonna talk to me? Grandmom wouldn't have a religion that she couldn't feel every now and then. Y'all with me here? But then you got some folk that don't need to feel anything. They are intellectual and they want to think. They need you to challenge them in the faith. Come on. So for them, you got to bring some anthems and some hymns and some high praise, and so that they can sit quietly and meditate and be still and know that God is in the building. Oh, help me. And then while we are appeasing the intellectual crowd, you got this other crowd that's on their cell phones tweeting to one another, when is this service going to wake up? And so with them, you got to get somebody on the drums and the keyboard and the hammer, and you got to bring out something that moves the feet, and so that the young people can get up and move a little bit and experience worship. And even the little kids, you got to give them something. You've got to speak to everyone in the house by incorporating every genre of music in the house. You got to break some tradition. Break some tradition if you're going to meet people. Jesus broke tradition. He broke some tradition. He didn't always do what was expected of him. I like when that trustee and the brother said, you know, don't use the word, we've never done that before. I like that, because if you're going to stay relevant, you got to do some things you've never done before. Because you're trying to reach people you've never reached before. Amen. If the only thing you're trying to do is keep those that you have, eventually you're going to have an empty church. Because those that you have eventually are going to die out, move away, get upset, stop coming for whatever reason, get old, just can't do it no more, just don't want to do it. And if only thing you've done is appease those you have and haven't thrown out the net to reach somebody else, then eventually you're going to have a shell. You're going to have a dinosaur. And you know what a dinosaur is. You're going to find yourself dancing with dinosaurs. And a dinosaur was once the most feared predator on the earth. But when an ecological shift took place, the dinosaur could not adjust. And because the dinosaur could not adjust, the dinosaur is now extinct. Y'all with me here? Listen, the birds adjusted and they made it. The snakes adjusted. Even the rats and roaches adjusted. But the big old dinosaur could not adjust, and now the only time you see one is when you go to a museum. And sadly, our churches have become museums because we have failed to adjust and we cannot meet the needs of the people. And so while we're sitting good, dressed up, looking good in our titles and our positions, and we've been in a position so long, ain't nobody living to even follow you anymore. You're just glad that you got this title. Dinosaur. Used to be. Got to break some tradition. Well, y'all did invite me to come. On a Wednesday night in the rain, all the way from Englewood, New Jersey. See, sometimes our tradition takes place and becomes more precedent than the Word of God. Grew up in this Baptist church, and this Baptist church I grew up in, it was a big deal. The communion table was a real big deal. Communion table was a real big deal. I mean, the communion table was larger than Christ. And it stayed right in front and center. And if by chance you were near the communion table, just casually talking, and just happened to just, you know, well, deaconesses who had arthritis and rheumatism, who had to be brought in by wheelchair, would jump up on their feet and run over to you and say, "Don't touch the communion table. It's holy." Now, while we understand that the communion table is sacred, it is sanctified, it is set apart for work, the problem has been that there was more reverence given to the communion table than there were the elements on top of the communion table. And then I had to help out people understand that the communion table is nothing but wood. It first was a tree. It was a tree that somebody chopped down and turned into lumber. And what we did is decided to order some church furniture, so we went into a catalog, which has also come from a tree. And we saw a picture of a communion table, and we said, "I like that." We placed the order. We called the company. They got this wood that was unfinished and unstained. They put it in their factory. Probably some sinner chiseled the wood down and smoothed it down. Some sinner sat down smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, chiseled the words, "This do in remembrance of me." Once the furniture was ready for delivery, they ordered some ungodly delivery company that got twisted up over there on 29 and couldn't get over here to save their lives. And when they finally got to Shiloh Baptist Church, they saw all those steps up front and start cussing about how they're going to get this communion table up in this sanctuary. Roll that thing up in here. You prayed over it. Now can't nobody touch it. When the focus, even though we reverence what the Lord has placed, we reverence that, but the focus should not just be on artifacts and and furniture. The focus has to be on the souls that Jesus came to save. Which leads me to my next point. Not only must we be willing to break some tradition, and sometimes say you got to go with the flow. This week, coming this Sunday morning, Lord willing, let me see, March 13th will be 21 years that I've been sharing as the pastor of Community Baptist Church. And we didn't get there just by staying with the status quo. Because if you keep doing what you were doing, you'll keep getting what you had. So we're willing to break some tradition. We're willing to come out of our comfort zones. And the next thing, you have to go where the opportunities are. That's what Jesus did. He went where the opportunities were. And Pastor, sometimes we even though we're called to a local assembly, there are some other sheep that are not in this fold. There are some folk that have yet to come to Christ, and they will not come to Christ in the traditional ways. They're not coming to the revival. They're not coming to the vacation Bible school. They're not coming to the traditional church event. So there are times when we have to go where the opportunities are. I know that everybody in here has sense enough to understand that all the fish in the aquarium have already been caught. Nobody ever goes fishing in an aquarium, because they realize if they're in the aquarium, somebody else. But when you want to catch fish, you have to go where the fish are. And listen, the fish are on the corners. The fish are at the clubs. The fish are on the welfare lines. The fish are out picketing. The fish are trying to get a job. The fish are in the hospital. The fish are in the nursing home. The fish are in jail. The fish are in the detention centers. That's right. The fish are skipping school, hanging out, getting high. That's where the fish are. And there are times, y'all, when we've got to hang up our sanctified garb and we've got to put on some real work clothes and go out and be among the people. And so that we can show the people that God is real enough to come down to their level and lift them up. What is sad about our churches is that sometimes we get filled with people who forget where the Lord brought them from. Amen. We've been saved so long, we've got amnesia. We don't remember what it was like to be young and in your 20s. I see some of y'all now, you're looking pretty good in your 60s and 70s. You're well kept. You got it going on, sister. I wish I knew you back in the day. Come on, somebody. Just look around the room. Look around the room. They missionaries and deaconesses and their little saved, sanctified mothers of the church. Young people don't believe it. They haven't always been there. They haven't always been like that. I look at the brother deacons in here. They great and they statuous and they refined men. They were max back in the day. Listen, look at them. They got more play than you'll ever have. They've done that, been there, retired. Come on. They got a few scars to prove it too. Help me, somebody. And what we need to do is be real enough with people to let them know that I ain't been saved that long that I don't remember what the Lord saved me from. That the reason why I praise him is because I used to be something. Anybody in the house can remember what you used to be? And guess what? Some of us ain't got to go way back because we still got a little something going on. Tell somebody he's still working on me. Oh, y'all better talk to me like you mean it. Tell somebody he's still working on me. That's why I praise him. That's why I throw up my hands. That's why I dance, because I remember where I could have been, and I remember where I should have been, and I remember where I used to be. So I got to praise him that God did not let my stuff catch up with me. But guess what? He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Do I have a witness in the house? Oh, listen, I've got to praise him. I've got to praise him. Listen, there's a little line in the Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Yeah. When the thug called the brother to come represent him in court, and he said, I don't do that anymore. Yeah. And the brother said, remember, I bought you that house. I sold the drugs that got you that house. And he started mouthing off at the man. And he told his partner, he said, step aside. He said, back up. Then he stepped to the brother and he said, don't let this suit fool you. Don't let this bow tie and black suit fool y'all. I've been saved a long time, but I ain't been right the whole time I've been saved. Y'all gonna make me tell the truth tonight, aren't you? Come on, come on, come on. I ain't forgot everything I used to do. In fact, Paul said, I gotta die daily. You know why I gotta die daily? Because the old man believes in resurrection. He gets up every day and tries to have his way. So every day I gotta crucify the flesh. Because guess what? When the Lord saved me, he saved me from a good life of sin. Y'all can't hang with me. Y'all too sanctified. Y'all. I said he saved me from a good life of sin. Oh, I used to hear the saints testify that he saved me from a miserable life of sin. And I was just trying to find out what sin that they were doing that was so miserable. Because all the stuff I was doing was good and real good. Do I have a witness in the house? Sin is like a warm bed, easy to get into, but hard to get out of. Keep sin costs you more than you want to pay. Sin keeps you longer than you want to stay. I've got to praise him because he saved me from a good life of sin. You know I know it's good because truthfully, when ain't nobody around, I still think about some of the stuff I used to do. If you're going to reach this generation, you got to tell them the truth. You got to tell them the truth. You got to tell them the truth. You got to go where the fish are and say, you're not the only one drinking. You're not the only one with a smoker. You're not the only one who's had an abortion. You're not the only one who's been to jail. You're not the only one who got some corruption in your past. You're not the only one that did some stealing and embezzling. You know, it depends on what category status you're in. If you got money, you embezzled. If you're poor, you stole. It doesn't matter. You're not the only one that told untruths. If you're rich, you're prevaricated. If you're poor, you lied. You're not the only one. Because we've got liars in church. And we've got gamblers in church. We've got whoremongers in church. We got everybody in church. But the blessed is, the reason why they're here is that they're covered by the blood. Can somebody throw up your hands and thank God for the blood? Oh, hallelujah. That's why the woman with the issue of blood got healed, because Jesus went where the opportunities were. He didn't stay in one place. He went among the people. And as he went, different things started happening. Because he was on the road, the blind Bartimaeus heard that he was passing by. Heard the noise and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't know about you, but I like blind Bartimaeus. Because when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. And the people around him told him to be quiet. He said, you got to be crazy. I've been sick. I've been blind all my life. And my only hope of seeing is passing by. And you want me to be quiet? I'm going to cry out with everything I've got. Jesus, have mercy on me. Has anybody in this church ever had to cry out? Have you ever been desperate enough to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me? The woman with the issue of blood heard some noise in the neighborhood, and she got a memo that Jesus was passing by, and said to herself, listen, he may not be coming to my house, but if he's in the neighborhood, he's close enough for me to get a blessing. I'm getting myself up and getting myself dressed, and I'm gonna press my way through the crowd, because I believe something. I believe that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made whole. And the Bible says, says she pressed her way, and at the touching of the hem of Jesus, immediately her issue dried up. That's because Jesus went where the opportunities were. Do I have a witness in the house? And as he was going, he met this Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was sick and demon possessed, and she went after Jesus and she said, "Jesus, I need some help." And he didn't say a word. And then she went biblical on him. She said, "Thou son of David." Now she wasn't even Jewish. She went online and did some research. She said, "Jesus, thou son of David." He looked at her, but he still didn't say a word. And then she said, "Well, I got one more thing I'm going to do." She ran in front of him and bowed down and worshiped. And guess what? If you want to get Jesus' attention, I dare you to give him some worship. Do I have any help in the house? Well, the Bible says Jesus looks at her and said, "What is your problem?" She said, "My daughter is sick and vexed with demons, and I need some help." And Jesus said something that sounded like an insult. He said, "It's not appropriate to give the children's food to the little dogs." If it had been a black sister, she'd have snapped her head, pulled off her wig. Who you calling a dog? But this woman did some research, and she understood the language that Jesus was speaking. And she knew that there was a difference between a little dog and a yard dog. When he said, "Don't give the children's food to the little dogs," he was talking about a house pet. And she knew something about a house pet. She said, "Maybe the house pet don't get the main meal, but the house pet gets the crumbs that falls from the master's table." Y'all not helping me here. She said, "Thank you for not calling me a yard dog. Because if I was a yard dog, then that means I would be outside the house. But because you said I'm a little dog, that means when you sitting at the table, I'm sitting down by your feet." And how many of you have ever had a house pet in here that when you eat something, you break a little piece of it off and you drop it down for your pet to eat? She said, "Yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table." In other words, she said, if there's healing in the loaf, then there's healing in the crumbs. If there's a blessing in the whole loaf, then there's a blessing in the crumbs. Is there anybody in the house that can say, "Lord, I'm not greedy. Just let some drops fall on me. Even me, Lord, let some drops fall on me." And if you're going to serve this present age, can I encourage you, Shiloh, keep on lifting him up. Yes, no matter what happens, don't stop lifting him up, because Jesus said something. He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I don't know about you, but last night I went home and I watched the haves and the have-nots. And tomorrow is Thursday, and I'm gonna be in front of my TV, and I'm gonna watch Grey's Anatomy, and I'm gonna watch Scandal. But guess what? Even though I like them, nobody on the haves and have-nots died for me. Nobody on Scandal died for me. And then don't care how much TV you watch, that's not going to bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light. But if you want the people to be drawn unto him, then I dare you to lift him up. There ought to be something happening. When the people go by Shiloh, there ought to be a joyful noise and a praise on the inside. And I just wonder, can I get somebody to help me lift Jesus? Yes, I'm going back to Inglewood, but can I get somebody to help me lift Jesus? Clap your hands and help me lift him. Pat your feet and help me lift him. Shout if you want. and help me lift them. One if you have to, and help me lift them. He's worthy of every hand clap. He's worthy of every hallelujah. He's worthy of every thank you, Jesus. Yes, he's worthy of every blog. He's worthy of every tweet. He's worthy of every post. Whatever you can do, just lift him up. Yes. And keep on serving.
Hallelujah.
This present age. This age. Not yesterday. Serve this age. So that you can reach the people today who need God but don't need church antics. They don't need to jump through our religious bureaucracy. That last verse of lift him up says, don't exalt, third verse, the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel. Simple, full, and free. Prove him. Prove him who said his promise is true. I'll draw. The gospel shouldn't be convoluted. Shouldn't be difficult. Shouldn't be attached with a paycheck. I'm not saying he shouldn't get paid. Pay the brother. I'm just talking to preachers right now. The motive should not be the money. It ought to be the souls. Simple, full, and free. Prove him who said his promise is true. If you do that, he said, I'll do the drawing. I'm a witness, y'all.
Yes, sir.
I'm a witness that the Lord will draw. I can't explain it when I see Koreans walk the aisle to give their life to Christ. I can't explain it when I see Latinos come forth to give their life to Christ. I can't explain it when I see Asians and whites and Africans from all across the continent come to give their life to Christ. I can't explain it. The only thing I know is I keep lifting him up.
Amen.
He said, if you do that, I'll draw not some, but all. I'll draw rich folks and poor.
Yes, sir.
Educated and uneducated. Professional and blue collar, entrepreneurs and those who have no job at all. I'll draw people who are clean and people who are addicted. I'll draw them. Because at the end of the day, they all need Jesus.
Yes.
But we're not called to serve yesterday. The old, good old traditional standard says one day at a time. Y'all remember that song? Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. This next line is key. Yesterday's gone.
Yes.
Yesterday
is gone.
Gone. I sure miss the way we used to do. Gone!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pastor, can we ever do that? Gone! And tomorrow may never be mine. Don't waste time today resurrecting what's gone. Use your today setting things up for your tomorrow. And even if you're not here tomorrow, have something in place so that tomorrow can take care of itself. Serve this present age and watch God, Shiloh. Watch him fulfill Isaiah 43. Behold, I'll do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. after 14 years, I'll do something new. Don't let the number of years as they rack up trick you into believing there's nothing else left. After 21 years, God is still doing something new. Do I have a witness community? He's still doing something new after 21 years. After 21 years, we're on the brink of going back to our third service. After 21 years. After 21 years, I'm still learning. After 21 years, he's still teaching me. After 21 years, the people are still coming up with some crazy stuff I never heard before. After 20, don't think 14 years. Oh, I've now what? No, not now what? What's next, Lord? Because our song we learn as kids says, every round goes what?
Higher
and higher.
Praise the Lord.
While you're standing on your feet, we want to extend an invitation. If you come to him, he'll set you free. He'll make you see where there's no hope. He'll give you hope. Anybody know that where he sat, where there's sadness, he'll give you joy. Just come to Jesus and trust him and do it right now. The doors of the church are open. There may be somebody here without Christ as your Savior, somebody here out of fellowship with the Lord in a backslidden state, somebody here who knows the Lord but don't have a church that you call home. If that is you, we want to give you an opportunity to come and do it right now. Is there one that'll come? Yes.
If you come to him, he'll set you free.
Yes.
Come to him, he'll make you see where there's no hope.
Yes, he'll give you hope where there's sadness.
Where there's sadness,
he'll give
you joy.
He will
pick you up
and turn
you around.
Place your
feet
on solid ground.
Whoa.
Is that one? And does that one?
Come to Jesus right now.
I was a wretch undone,
yeah,
living in a world of sin.
Say, Pastor.
No hope, no peace within. Somebody told me what Jesus did. When he gave his life, died for my sin. Now I'm justified.
Yeah.
I'm sanctified. And I glorify his holy name. Come to Jesus.
Yeah,
come to Jesus right now. Do I have a witness? Is that one? Place on solid ground. God bless you. God bless you.
Come to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus. Oh, I was a wretch undone, living in a world of sin. No hope. No peace within. Somebody told me what Jesus did when he gave his life, died for my sin. Now I'm justified and I'm sanctified. I'll glorify his holy name. Come on, come to Jesus. Jesus. Come to Jesus. Do it right now. How many of you know He will?
He will pick you up
and turn your life
and turn around.
Well, on solid ground. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. You can do it. Yeah. Yes. He will.
He will pick you up
and turn your life.
He'll
place on solid. Come to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. You can do it. One more time. Yeah. He will heal and turn your life. Place on solid ground. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can do it right now.